It is true that my life is fantasy 24/7, John. Nothing but fantasy in my life. Exactly.
Yeah, you're the worst fantasy player I've ever seen.
Hey, yeah, and this is my year.
Before we get to Matthew, Jorge found the Ron Feinbaum clip I was telling you about, where he says that Deion Sanders should be hired by USC today. I can't tell if
it's not Ron. Who is it?
Paul Feinbaum.
Right. Before you do that, John, I want to let everybody know Dodgers 3-3 with Colorado, two on, one out, top five, and the Padres have jumped on the Giants for four runs in the first inning. So we got a chance to pull back within one here. All right, now, Paul Feinbaum.
All right, Feinbaum and the Dodgers just grounded into a double play to end that inning and end that threat.
Every moment.
Yeah. Paul Feinbaum, Mace, you tell me if he's being serious or is he just doing a bit here. He says USC should hire Deion Sanders right now. Here's Feinbaum.
Absolutely. What Deion Sanders can do is hire a staff. He can go out and get a great defense and offensive coordinator. He is the face of the program. And is there a city in America that needs a face and glitz more than Los Angeles? I think he would be unbelievable. Go ahead and hire him today.
Is he serious?
He can't be. This is like hot take. Was it radio? Was it TV? What was it?
I think it was TV.
Okay, so it's like hot take. I don't think he believes what he's saying. Deion Sanders, and granted, he's just getting into coaching. He's in an HBCU, and he's doing a great job and all that stuff. But you can't step from that to a major college football program in one leap. That is way, way too far.
Well, except that if I was Florida State, I'd hire him.
Well, that makes more sense because he's an alum. It doesn't make any sense for USC. You have to run a program. I mean,
the more and more I think about USC, the more and more I think James Franklin is the
guy. Me too. That's where I've settled too. I've settled James Franklin.
I think he checks so many boxes. You know,
he's having a good year too.
Well, and he's a solid recruiter. He is.
He's a charismatic guy for alums,
right,
and donors.
I think he'd be a huge hit here. There was an article in The Athletic today by my buddy Bruce Feldman that outlined everything that's gone wrong at USC. And when you read about it, it's basically, if I was going to summarize the article in 5 seconds, I would say their recruiting has gone awry.
Yes.
And I think that if you look at Franklin and the way he's been able to recruit, whether at Vanderbilt or whether at Penn State, it's just never going to be a problem. You get that guy in the – like one of the things that Bruce pointed out in his article – is that when Clay got into the room,
yep,
up against the other big heavy hitters, the Urban Meyers, the Nick Sabans, the Dabo Swinneys, that Clay couldn't compete in that group. I think James Franklin can compete in that group, don't you?
I absolutely do. I think he can compete in that. By the way, I think James Franklin or Mario Cristobal, I think those are the two guys.
Yeah, I think that would be a home run either way.
Yeah, both are home run recruiters. Both are charismatic. Both would be – and by the way, that is important at USC. You've got to be able to interact with the donors and the alums and all the rich guys that support USC. So you do have to be a charming, charismatic guy. James Franklin ticks that box.
Well, you know, the other thing is I think this hire is going to prove or show is whether or not Carol Folt and Mike Bone get it. USC football – is the front porch of that university, which is one of the most successful universities, especially in terms of fundraising, in the world. And the very first thing people talk about when you mention USC is the football team.
Yep.
And if they're willing to if they're not willing to accept that, if they want to say, well, you know, it was years ago somebody made the comment, I'm not sure the football coach should be the highest paid person here. You can't be the chancellor or the athletic director at USC because you don't get it.
If they do go with Dennis Dodd says it's Luke Fickell's job to turn down. He's the head coach at Cincinnati. They get it or they don't get it?
No, I think it means you give Luke Fickell 3 years, and if he doesn't get it, not only do you get rid of him, you get rid of Bone. Because if he hires Fickell, you have to live with it. Trust me, I went through it at UCLA. when they hired, you know, Carl Durrell had never been a head coach.
You're going through it now. Chip Kelly, it's a whole new world. We're going undefeated. We're going
but
to college
Chip
football.
But at least Chip Kelly
came
with
Fresno State.
Chip Kelly and Rick Neuheisel came with a resume. Carl Durrell didn't have one. That was UCLA accepting, well, it doesn't really matter if we win. USC rehiring Clay Helton or allowing Clay to stay when he went 4-8 was them accepting that it really doesn't matter if we win. If they do it again, if they hire somebody who falls flat, that reflects as much on Fult and Bone as it does on
sure.
whoever they hired.
Absolutely
it?
Does. Absolutely does. By the way, I got a nugget from I'm really curious about this game. Saturday, the Trojans are home to Oregon State. And
they got to be a big favorite in that game, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dante Williams will not say anything about who will play, but we know that Jackson Dart has not practiced this week. So that would seem to me, seems like they're pointing towards Slovis as potentially the starter. I think most USC fans, all my USC fans, friends, they want Jackson Dart. They want the future. By the way, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles and KRDC Pasadena.
Mike Yastrzemski, two-run homer. Giants have cut that lead in half. It's now Padres 4, Giants 2.
Yeah, yeah. And Dodgers still 3-3 with Colorado. Matthew Berry's going to be here in a minute. Greg, is Matthew Berry going to be here in a minute? Or are we moving? Oh, we're calling him now. Okay, so Matthew Berry. Lots of questions. Like, my question is, and I'll just
did
tell
you what
it is.
Did you make a mistake when you agreed to shave off one of your eyebrows if you finished last? The
Matthew Berry
yes.
likes my roster better than he likes your roster. I actually won mythical money on that.
Yeah, but you're 0-2 and have the lowest point total in the league, and I'm 2-0 and have the highest.
Let me tell you a story. So Matthew will love this story. So here's what I did. In order to win that, I went to Matthew Berry's love-hate column. I went to all of Matthew Berry's
I just read
rankings.
His love-hate for this week. He loves Jalen Hurts this week.
And I chose only the players that Matthew Berry recommended specifically. That's why I won the who's got the best roster game mm-hmm. because I chose all of Matt Berry's favorite players. For the
well,
year.
The season is very young. Matthew could turn out to be right. You could finish ahead of me by the end of the season. But you traditionally fall flat once the season starts.
Oh, I'm coming. All right, I think Matthew Berry's online right now, the talented Mr. Roto. Matthew, how you doing, man?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're excellent, and we always appreciate your time, Matthew. We each got some questions for you, and then we'll hit the phones for you. Here's one for me. I have on my team two really good quarterbacks. I have Patrick Mahomes, and I have Derek Carr. So I've been trying to trade Carr to anyone who will take him because I don't have any room to play him. I'm going to play Mahomes every week. When he has his bye, I'll just go get somebody. But,
sure.
Matthew, the other 11 owners in my league, to be candid, they have a quarterback that they like better than Derek Carr. I couldn't trade him. So is my best move now to just trade him for whatever I can get or hang on to him and wait for one of these quarterbacks to get hurt and revisit a trade down the road? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know your league better than I do. I will tell you just in general about Derek Carr. He's been terrific. You know, he was in – I mentioned my love-hate this week. He actually makes the hate column this week because I don't love the matchup with Miami. But in general, he's been nothing short of fantastic. And I think dating back to last year, over the last 8 games that he's played, including the 2 games this year, he has yet to finish worse than QB12 in any given week. Mm-hmm. He's been fantastic. I think just, you know, people don't realize how good he's been. Just I think the narrative on him doesn't actually match the production. But the problem is, it's your point. Like, I don't think people in your league realize how good he's been. So I think your choices are really one of two things. Number one is that, to your point, you're not going to get enough value for him. So you can either wait for an injury. The problem is there's so many good quarterbacks out there, right? There's like, you know, I mean, like Daniel Jones is suddenly emerging. Justin Fields, he's going to be the starter in Chicago for as long as he's the starter. He's a, you know, top 13, I have him at QB13 this week. So there's so many good quarterbacks for a 12-team league. The other thing you can consider, John, is if you believe in Derek Carr, you could trade Mahomes.
Oh.
And get just a superstar.
Hmm.
Instead of trying to force somebody to take as opposed to trying to get somebody to take to believe in Carr, if you do, you know what I mean? Then
I never thought of that.
You could maybe get McCaffrey for Mahomes.
Hey, Mace, what do you think? Mace, you got McCaffrey. What do you think?
Matthew, I've got Jalen Hurts. Would I make that trade if I have McCaffrey?
No, I would not do that trade if I were you, because Jalen Hurts is awesome.
Yeah,
but
Jalen
there are
Hurts
other there are other quarterbacks,
yep.
there
no,
are other
like
people
idea.
In your league
like your
that and what you could do, John, by the way, the other thing you could do is because you have that weird rule about rostering three quarterbacks or whatever, what you could do is you could say, like, I'll give you Mahomes for whatever, call it, you know, Alvin Kamara or something like that. Get, you know, get some superstar. And then you say, and then, by the way, since you're going to be playing Mahomes every week, throw me back your quarterback. So you'll get a decent, you know, you'll get somebody
right.
less than Mahomes.
All right.
But whatever.
That's a great answer.
You can mix and match between Carr and whoever the other guy is. And then you've got, you know, whatever, Kamara or Derrick Henry or, you know, a superstar, Dalvin Cook, although he missed practice today. Right, one of those guys.
All right. So here is here's a little thing that happened since last we talked. Matthew, my team is off to an 0-2 start.
Shocking, I know.
Oh, boy.
And I believe in my team. I really do. I think I've put together a really good team with great chemistry. We have a great culture, all that stuff. I have agreed that if I
finish last. You built the organization
last,
the right way.
Correct. If I finish last in our league, I will shave off one eyebrow.
Oh, he's, boy.
He Matthew, he's finished last 4 out of the last 5 years, including the last 2 in a row.
I know. Last place Mace. I know.
So
there's something on the line now, Matthew. There's something real on the line.
Yeah, he's an idiot, Matthew. I don't know what to say. What, Mace, what was your question?
My question is, again, it's the same question as last week. George Kittle or T. Higgins? T. Higgins keeps scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, and I get that, right? I mean, like, it's so frustrating, right? Because Kittle should be great, and he hasn't been. He hasn't been, and Higgins has been productive. Having said that, I have to still believe in the talent. In this particular case, Higgins on the road at Pittsburgh, it's a very good defense. They're going to blitz Burrow a lot. He's not particularly good when he gets blitzed. San Francisco is playing Green Bay. Think about what Hockenson did to Green Bay on Monday night. Think about Juwan Johnson, who scored 2 touchdowns against the Packers in week 1 as a tight end. The Packers, through 2 games, have really struggled against tight ends.
Right.
T. Higgins has a really tough matchup. So, listen, what you have to do in fantasy is you just play the odds, right? You play the odds, and, you know, just because you stay on 17 doesn't mean the dealer doesn't pull 21 on you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You play the odds, right? And, you know, and you play the odds more often than not, it's going to work out for you. And so where you get in trouble is where you start to try to get cute. And you drafted Kittle high for a reason. I understand it. It's been brutal for 2 weeks. But going against the Packers in what should be a high-scoring game, a team that struggled against the tight end, I'm going with Kittle for one more week over T. Higgins.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the phones. Here's Mike in Moor Park. Mike, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
Hey, fellas. Hey, Matthew. How you doing? So I just saw that Miles Sanders was limited today. Would you take him over DeAndre Swift, who was also limited?
I would not. Look, I mean, listen, DeAndre, and I get it. They're playing the Ravens. The Lions are playing the Ravens, tough matchup. But the Lions have had tough matchups, and Swift continues to produce points. I mean, they played San Francisco, which is as good a defense as there is in the NFL, against running backs, and Swift still had a monster game, right? And so Sanders is losing touches to Kenneth Gainwell. I get it. Look, we expect that to be a high-scoring game, the Eagles-Cowboys game on Monday night. And hopefully, because it's the Monday night game, you'll have more time to make that decision. But as I sit here today, I'd rather have Swift than Sanders. I think I think Swift has more of a role in his team's offense than Sanders does to this point.
All right, thanks. Chris in San Dimas. Chris, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
Hey, Matthew.
San Dimas High School Football Rules.
Wide receiver and a flex. I have Michael Pittman Jr., Melvin Gordon, Elijah Mitchell, and that's it.
You don't have Claypool, Chris?
Claypool, Pittman, Mitchell, and Melvin Gordon.
So how many? Just one of those 4?
Yeah.
Wide receiver and a flex.
Claypool, Mitchell, Pittman, and
Gordon.
I forget who the 4th guy was.
Gordon.
Oh, and Elijah Moore. So yeah, Elijah Mitchell. So Mitchell didn't practice again today. Like, if and the way San Francisco does the practices, Friday tends to be just sort of a light walkthrough. So you're probably not having Mitchell this week. I don't think you have to make that decision. I don't think he's playing this week. I think I'm going with Chase Claypool at home against Cincinnati. I think he's got the bigger play upside. We don't know if Carson Wentz is going to start right now for Indianapolis. Pittman certainly, if Carson Wentz is going to play, I like Pittman against Tennessee. I'll say that. But I'm worried about Wentz's health there. I do think Claypool has the most upside there. And then I forget who the other guy he said was. But anyway, Claypool would be my – he had Mitchell, he had Pittman, he had somebody else.
And, hey, Melvin Gordon. Anyway.
Yeah, make the questions less complicated.
Melvin Gordon, you know what? I forgot. Okay, so Melvin Gordon's at home against the Jets. He's been actually very productive. Here's what I would say. Depends on his matchup and the rest of his team. If he needs a floor, meaning, hey, I just need like 10 to 12 points, go with Melvin Gordon. I think he's the safest of all of his options. If he needs upside, he's like, you know, I'm down after Thursday night, or the guy I'm playing is heavily favored, then I would go Claypool. I think Claypool has the most upside. I think Gordon is the safest of those four. All
okay,
right.
Let's get a couple of tweets in. What is going on with Ezekiel Elliott? Any chance for a rebound?
Look, you know what? He scored 17.7 fantasy points last week. He had a very good game. The problem is Tony Pollard had a better game,
yeah.
Right? And so the fact is that on 76% of Tony Pollard's snaps, he touched the ball. That's great. Zeke still played over 60% of the Cowboys' snaps last week. He was still getting the majority of the snaps. The problem is that when Pollard's in, they use him more in the passing game. They're using Zeke for blocking, believe it or not. So what I would say is that, do I think Zeke is still an effective fantasy player? I do. You know, but I think he's probably more of a high-end RB2 than the top five guy that you drafted him to be, because Tony Pollard's a thing. He really is, and he's going to continue to be a thing. Having said that, Ezekiel Elliott made my hate list this week. I don't love the matchup with the Eagles, and the Tony Pollard situation is real. But I say he makes my hate list. He's still running back 15 for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's on a hate list because he was drafted as a top five running back on ESPN, and I'm at 15. But you're still starting him. I still think he is.
Yeah.
He will be productive for fantasy, just probably not what you drafted him
okay.
to be.
Roland,
but listen,
Roland Padilla wants to know, Justin Herbert or Derek Carr?
Herbert.
Jose wants to know, Tyson Williams or Damian Harris?
I'm going to go with Tyson Williams. It's a good matchup against Detroit. Damian Harris not involved with any of the passing downs at all. And obviously, that's a tough matchup against the Saints. That should be a really low-scoring game.
Matthew, I just read your love-hate for this week, and I noticed that you had Daryl Henderson from the Rams on there, and you mentioned in the column that even if Sony Michel plays instead of Henderson, you don't like him either. Why are you down on the Ram running backs?
I'm not down on the Rams running backs. I'm high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense.
Gotcha.
I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense is as good as – it's one of the reasons why, like, you think back to that first game against the Cowboys and Tony Pollard became a thing, because they didn't want to send Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best running backs in the NFL, they didn't want to send him into the middle of the line. I mean, that's as good a defensive line as there is in football and has been for quite some time. So my expectation here is that Sean McVay knows that and feels like, you know, where I can attack them is their secondary, which has been inconsistent. We saw Dak put up a lot of points against them in week number one, and obviously, you know, Evans had a huge game last week as well. So I think it's the big Cooper Kupp game. I think Robert Woods is involved as well. Like, you can really attack them, especially in the slot. The Buccaneers are bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of most slot points allowed, most yards allowed to wide receivers. So I think that's how the Rams will attack them, is through the air.
Okay. Luisio wants to know, Mike Williams or Kenyon Drake? Flex position.
Williams.
Rosalind wants to know.
Mike Williams.
Rosalind wants to know, Mike Davis or Cordarrelle Patterson? Oh, that's interesting.
It is. I'm going to go with Davis, who's still the starter. I get it. Cordarrelle Patterson scored 2 touchdowns last week. He looks good. They're using him in a variety of creative ways. Talented player. I still think Davis, who's had 2 tough, really tough matchups to start the season. I think it's close, but in a matchup against the Giants, which is a lot more favorable to Atlanta, I think Davis finds some running room. I have Davis ranked higher than Patterson this week. But
right.
It's a lot closer than we thought it would be 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Hey, listen, Matthew, I get your email every single day, the Fantasy Life email. How do people get that?
Just go to fantasylife.com and click on the newsletter tab. It's 100% free. It's just every single piece of news and nugget that you need to know every day. It's in your email box. I would encourage everyone to sign up for it and try it. It's really great, really well written. And if you don't like it, just unsubscribe. It's a free email. What do you care? But
yeah,
fantasylife.com.
You know, Matthew, when you were on the show last week, I signed up for it. I love it, man, because you get a lot of different updates throughout the week. It's not just one email. You get a bunch of stuff consistently. So, people, if you want to win your fantasy league, sign up for that thing. Matthew, we always appreciate your
time,
man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thanks. Thank you. We'll need it.
You need it. I'm 2-0. You need it.
Yeah, Matthew Berry there, talented Mr. Roto. You know, this is the craziest time of year. Actually, coming up next, how do you quit a job? How should you quit a job? It's actually an interesting question because we heard that lady at the Walmart do what she did. We'll play that again. Plus, how should you quit a job?
Yeah, Scherzer just gave up a 2-run homer. The Dodgers are now down 5-3 in the fourth.
Scherzer has never thrown well at Coors Field.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so it's Rockies 5, Dodgers 3, bottom 6. Joe Kelly now on the mound in relief of Max Scherzer.
Let's go, Joe Kelly!
We need to win this game. But if it falls to 3 games, by the way, our earlier conversation becomes a different one.
Then you come over to my side if they fall 3 behind with 7
3 behind is really tough to make up with 10 games left.
Well, it'd be 8
9 games left.
Wait, but you said the Giants can lose 3 games in a row.
They can, but the best we can do is the best we can do is tie them. Look, there is a scenario where what John said, like if we fall 3 games back today, then there's a scenario where we do take the foot off the pedal.
Well, that's why I was saying that wait until Sunday, and wherever you are at that point, that's when you make the decision.
Well,
when it gets back to our worries.
That I agree with. Wait until Sunday until there's 6 games left.
Sure,
yeah, if we're 3 out, then screw it.
John agreed with that too, didn't you?
Yep.
So I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on the same page, but we got to hot take this thing. You know, you got to hot take it.
I mean, set him down now.
54 outs.
I need a hot take. It's 54 outs.
51 outs.
Yeah. So we heard that lady. And we should get the Giants score. What's the Giants score updated?
4-2.
4-2 Giants trailing the Padres right now. It is the top of the third inning in San Diego where the Padres are just a walking embarrassment. They were the team that was supposed to challenge us in the National League West. Nobody saw the Giants coming, including me. I remember early in the year when the Giants were at the top of the division saying, yeah, the wheels will come off. It's a fluke. They're not really going to be there at the end. Well, I was completely wrong. I like to own my mistakes. Do you ever own a mistake, John?
No, you don't like to own your mistake.
I already just said I was completely wrong about the Giants.
Yeah, you're going to be completely wrong about the Dodgers, too. They're going to play in the wild card game, and they're going to beat the Cardinals. And
well,
if
we do play in the wild card game, I pray to God we beat Adam Wainwright and the Cardinals.
And, Bergman, you say you already know when that game would be?
Wednesday. Yeah, the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday the 6th.
Mm-hmm. So the American League wild card game is on the 5th?
Yes, it's on Tuesday the 5th, and then the NLDS starts on Friday the 8th.
Okay.
It is the best time of year. We're coming up on October. It is the best time of year in sports. You got the NFL rolling big. You've got baseball playoffs. We've got like a survivor pool going on, fantasy football going on. Lakers are going to start, John. What's the date?
October 3rd, Sunday, against the potential NBA Finals matchup, Brooklyn Nets.
Woo.
At Staples Center, 12:30.
Now, in a preseason game, how much do you expect to see the starters?
I don't know. They have, you know, assuming they're healthy, I would think they would play a quarter at least, maybe a half. But I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, how much of the two big threes are we going to see? That'll be interesting. And the Cardinals
The Nets don't have everybody vaccinated. So I think the Lakers are going to – Rob Pelinka said today he anticipates the Lakers are going to be fully vaccinated. If the Nets aren't, then, you know, Kyrie's a – you know, he's always out there causing trouble. So, you know, you wonder if Kyrie will be good to go or not.
Yeah, the teams that want to win are fully vaccinated. I'll just say that. The teams that want to win are fully vaccinated. All right. And by the way, one of those teams, Tampa Bay, coming to SoFi Stadium on Sunday. Did something just happen?
No.
Tampa Bay coming. I hear that Sunday. And I assume something's happening. All right. So we heard that lady quit her job. And
probably John, worth playing again if people weren't listening because was a long time ago.
We'll play it coming up next. And then John and I have both left jobs in the past, and we have a certain way that we do it, and it's the opposite of what that lady did at the Walmart.
True. Yeah, you said you liked her. That's something you would never do.
Yeah. Coming up next, the lady who quit the Walmart, the way she did it, and the way Ireland and I have quit jobs or been released from jobs in the past. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was just saying, you're kind of nobody in this business till you've had a stalker. John, have you ever had a stalker?
Yeah, it was bad. I don't even know if you should. Yeah, I'll tell it. I don't care. I was trying to help a guy out with something, and he somehow found out where I lived.
Ugh.
And showed up. This is not in this house, but at my previous house.
Yep.
And it freaked me out.
Yeah, I've had it a couple of times. It is really, really weird. It's really weird. All right, so lady at the Walmart. We played this a little while, played this about an hour ago. This is the way she elected to say goodbye to her job at Walmart.
Attention Walmart shoppers and associates. My name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. The attendant policy is bullshit. We are treated from management and customers poorly every day. Whenever we have a problem with it, we're told that we're replaceable. I'm tired of the constant gaslighting. This company treats their elderly associates like to Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, shame on y'all for treating your associates the way you do. I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. Shout out to Kamenik, Patty, Chardell, and so many more. Walmart doesn't deserve y'all. Manage it and this job. I quit.
Woo! It's like a Norma Rae moment.
Right.
Woo!
And you say you respect her more that she went out that way. I think she made a mistake.
She's an activist, John. She's an activist.
And here's why I think she made a mistake.
Okay.
If you're an individual,
yep.
In this case, Beth, she's, you know, she doesn't want to work there anymore, obviously. And that's
she's a hero.
Choice.
Hero to many.
But every time I've ever left a job, even jobs I've been fired from.
Now, what jobs have you been fired from?
I got fired here. I got fired at
7:10. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, you got fired here.
And when I did, you know what I said? I said, okay, thanks for the opportunity. If I can ever help you out, let me know. And I left.
I told you were going to get fired.
You told me 30 seconds before they were going to fire me.
Yeah, but I get credit for telling you beforehand.
You knew like 2 months before.
Yeah, it was they put me in a no-win situation. but I did tell you.
But I still would have handled it the same way. I think that you should always, to the best of your ability, live by the golden rule. And one of those guys that fired me actually told you one day he liked firing people.
I love firing people. It's what is wrong with you?
He kind of got off on it.
Most people, bastard.
Yeah, most people don't. You know, most people, they don't enjoy that part of their job. And what I think you do if you treat people the way you would want to be treated in that situation, you leave open your options.
Right.
Because it's a small world and you may end up working with these people again. You know this. I mean,
sure.
How many times have we worked with somebody and then
worked with him again?
We end up working with him again. Tommy yeah. Lamb, we used to work with Tommy years ago.
Right.
At a different place. Chris Morales, we met at a different place.
Yep.
You know, you never know.
Chris so Morales, should, the snake.
You should always, unlike Beth, you should always leave in a way that you can explain if you ever get a chance to work with these people again. That's just my philosophy.
By the way, at some point, I did or will tell a lie, so make sure at 3:30 you're ready for that. We got a chance to win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. We'll give you a couple of cracks at that. So here's my story about that. And I actually think I conveyed this to you at some point. When I was working at Fox Radio, I was working with this jackass named Kevin Kiley.
He's not a jackass. He's a good guy.
He's a jackass. And he brought up a bunch of inappropriate stuff, and I was filling in with
him. No.
It was...
You're soft-pedaling this. You guys interviewed the Super Bowl.
I didn't. It's his show.
Okay, the Super Bowl was in San Diego.
Yep.
And you guys interviewed a call girl to see if her rates went up during Super Bowl
yes.
week.
Yes. And it was not my idea. It was not my show. I was along for the ride. I never would have done it on my own show. Kylie did it. And so what happened was we both got fired.
Right.
We both got terminated. Now, I chose to write a thank you letter to the wonderful Craig Kitchen, who's a great guy, was working at Premier Radio or Fox or any whatever that was back then. Said, thank you very much for the opportunity. I had a great time. I hope someday we can work together again. 2 weeks later, he called me and said, can you fill in for Art Bell? I was like, see?
And wait, well, you got to tell people who Art Bell is. I was so jealous when you got this gig. Art Bell was the guy who, like, was on late at night and talked about yep. UFOs, right?
Yes. And I got to fill in for him, which was fantastic. But the point of the story is that if you go, they will remember how you go out. They will remember how you handle it at the end. Coming into a job is easy.
And Beth did not handle it well at the end.
Yes, she did.
Wait, but that whole
she
thing with
not.
Kylie, though, with I mean, we couldn't do that here, obviously, but at
right.
Fox, why could they not
I
do
I don't
that?
Know. Somebody complained what? And I got canned.
That's not a fireable thing.
Yeah, it was
it's a
then.
Question.
It well, was
that. Actually a pretty
by the way,
interesting question.
By the way, Greg, that would be a fireable thing here.
Yes, oh, absolutely, it's a thing. That's why I said you can't do that here.
Yeah.
But at Fox, yeah, you absolutely can.
Well, apparently you couldn't back then.
Right. I mean, I've heard much worse.
Yeah. But it does say I always think that if you're going out, whether you're leaving a job or if you're getting fired, I think how you leave matters.
Yeah, it does.
And apparently to Beth it did not.
I view Beth as an activist on behalf of Walmart workers at that particular store. She's
right,
an activist.
But you wouldn't if you were running the Target across the street, you wouldn't hire her. Because it's
that
a
might
tough,
be true. That may be true.
It's a tough thing to sell. If she does it again, she'll turn the troops against you.
Do you know that Tampa is now a 1-point favorite over the Rams at SoFi Stadium on Sunday?
Well, they're good. Tampa Bay's good. I've had that game as a pick 'em the whole time.
Basically, it is a pick 'em.
1 point's not going to make a difference. If you were going to bet on the Rams and they were favored
which
by
I
one.
Which I am, 5,000 mythical dollars okay. on the Rams.
If they were favored by one or if they were getting one, it wouldn't change your bet. 1 point in football doesn't mean anything.
You know, the one thing, and I'll be there at SoFi Stadium, and it's going to be loud and it's going to be fun. I saw the Rams sent out an email. They are only selling standing room only tickets now. So if you want to go
oh,
to
wow.
the game, there's only SRO. You can. The one thing I'm looking for. What was that funny, Jorge?
Because the way you say it, SRO. That's it.
SRO is standing room only.
I know,
John, is that not a common expression?
Yes.
Yes.
I think most people
you say,
know
you're
what
just
that means.
Funny guy.
Wow, David Price going in for the Dodgers. I haven't seen him in a while.
I have not seen him in a while. Rockies 5-3, bottom 7.
Dodgers are down, even though we once started this game with what Mason would say were 54 outs. The Dodgers are down to their last 6.
Well, the Rockies are looking at 51 outs for them.
Hey, 54 outs is a normal thing.
You're really the first person I've ever heard say it.
And how many outs are in a game?
Well, it depends. It depends.
No, each team has 27.
No,
times.
Have you ever heard a manager say 54 outs? No.
No, listen to it this way. Look, Colorado, if they win this game, they don't have to. They only go 24 outs. They don't have to bat in the bottom of the ninth.
Correct. So they only go 24. That doesn't affect the 40.
Yes,
54.
It does. It makes it 51.
Of course it does.
Yeah, but it makes it 24.
No, it makes it 51 overall if you're going to do your whole little bit there.
Yeah, I think you guys are stupid.
I mean,
you're having some math, and you're calling
us
stupid.
Someone is stupid, but it's not us.
Yeah, you guys are stupid. So the one thing I'm looking for, one key, I think, for this Rams team, and it's going to be huge on Sunday, it's a really big deal, is they've got to tighten up special teams. They gave up huge returns on the opening kickoff against the Bears and again last week in Indianapolis. And they've got to tighten. They're giving up too much return yardage. There's something wrong with special teams. It is their third special teams coach in 3 years. And then the other thing is they got to make up their mind. Who's going to return punts? Is it going to be Cooper Kupp or is it going to be this kid they drafted, Tutu Atwell? The little guy. He's like a miniature guy.
When Reggie Bush was at USC, I used to interview Pete Carroll every week because that's when I was working at Channel 2.
Yes.
And I would say, why don't you put Reggie Bush back on punt and kickoff returns? No one can tackle him. He's so great in the open field. He goes, he's become too important. Wait, Siri thinks I activated her. It's become too important to put Reggie in those situations because we need him for our offense. Can I make that argument about Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp
is like the best wide receiver in the NFC right now.
But the times he's been out there, he's like fair catch Kupp. Well, I think he's out there for a fair catch. I think Tutu Atwell is out there for a return.
So I would put Atwell in.
Yeah, me too.
Did Atwell fumble or something?
No. But they haven't made up their mind. It's like sometimes it's Kupp, sometimes it's Atwell. I want return yardage. I think we got a better chance with Atwell than we do with Kupp.
And you're sure he's active?
Yeah, he's definitely active.
By the way, DeSean Jackson, who they have in their roster now, used to be a great punt returner. I don't know if he still does it. He's older
now. He's kind of an afterthought in this offense.
He only had two targets last year.
Yeah. Van Jefferson is the guy that's emerging. Van Jefferson, the guy they took in last year's draft, is the one that's emerging. Yeah, DeSean Jackson has not really been a factor.
Put him
so
back
far.
There.
Yeah, sure. Let him try it. All right, special teams, big deal on Sunday. Little thing, but big deal. All right, coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergie, do you have good stuff for us?
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
God, maybe. I hope so.
That wasn't very enthusiastic.
God, I hope so.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, here we go. The other day, Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins hit a home run off of the Nationals. Right before he stepped on home plate, he Euro-stepped for his celebration. The next night, Josh Rogers of the Nationals struck out Jazz Chisholm to end an inning, and he Euro-stepped off the mound. Are we finally starting to enjoy ourselves in baseball, and what do you think of the back and forth between these two?
That's exactly what should happen. If you do something good, celebrate it. And don't get all offended. Like, you know, Mace, they threw yesterday at Kevin Kiermaier.
Yes.
For stealing that piece of paper at home plate.
I understand it.
Yeah, but I think it's stupid.
No, I understand that.
Kiermaier didn't steal
anything.
By the
way,
we left it at home plate.
We did not tell that whole story. Kiermaier went to the dugout and said, please give me that back. It is my property. And they said no. Toronto said no. Doesn't that put a different spin on that?
No, in other words, you got it backwards. Toronto is the one that lost the card. Kiermaier picked it up.
So the catcher
went to the Rays dugout
and said, "That's our property."
Yeah, and then Tampa said, "Not anymore. We found it."
Yeah, I think that puts a different spin on it. But I'm all for celebrating in any possible way you can. Sing, dance, admire your home runs, flip your bats, throw them in the air. I don't care what
it is. I kind of like what Tatis does when he goes around third. He does a step back.
Right.
And then he keeps running.
Yeah, Machado loves that.
Yeah. I have no problem. Anybody hits a home run, do whatever you want.
Yeah, me too. Don't you feel the same, Bergman?
Yeah, no, I do feel the same. I love that they're doing this, and I love that they're going back and forth over it. It's great.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun.
All right, so I don't really know how to feel about this one. Tiger King made the pandemic bearable for a little while. And gave us a lot of content for a little while.
Yes.
But
those are 8 hours I will never get back.
You're absolutely
right.
I'll
never forgive them.
Okay, so that goes along with the question then. But the behind-the-scenes stuff has been a mess and really more annoying than anything. Netflix announced today that Tiger King 2 is going to be coming out and promises just as much mayhem and madness as season one. Are they grasping at straws, or are you in on this?
Grasping at straws. It was a moment. It was in the middle of the pandemic. It was silly.
The pandemic.
It was comical. And it worked once. It will never work again. There's nothing they could do to get me to watch Tiger King 2.
I'm mad I watched Tiger King 1. Who was it? Was it Stan Kasten we had on, Mace? And you asked him if he watched Tiger King?
Yes.
And his answer was, I'll never get those hours back. I can't believe I did it.
Exactly.
That's how I feel. Yeah. No thanks.
No thanks on Tiger King 2.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. All right, so maybe Jorge has a better answer to this than you guys do, but we'll see what you think. Baseball has a ton of sons of former Major League players that are going out right now. The NBA has a ton of famous sons, too, that have played in the league. Football has a bunch. But Cristiano Ronaldo's mom yesterday said that Cristiano Jr. is better at his age than Cristiano was.
Wow.
So I asked Jorge if there are a lot of soccer sons playing, and he said no. What do you think about this? It's the biggest sport in the world. Why is there not sons that are making it as big in soccer?
That's interesting. I can't imagine why that would be. You know, the advantage that young ball players have, whether it's NBA or it's Major League Baseball or it's football, is that they grow up around the game. They're hanging around dugouts and locker rooms and clubs. They get a sense for the rhythm and what the game's all about. I can't imagine why that hasn't extended to soccer.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Jorge, why do you think it is?
I don't know. I just, especially for Ronaldo and his kids, I mean, look at the bar. Like, your kid is better than you at 15, right? I don't think his kid is going to be as big as his dad, at least because I haven't seen it from somebody else. I don't know why, but it's just one of those rare things. Like, the dad is fine, but then his kids, they might play. They might be pros, but not as good as their parents. I don't know why. I can't explain it.
There's nobody like at Brazil, like they had kids that played or, you know, like any of those, Italy with all these big places that don't have their kids play?
I mean, they have their kids play in the academies and they make their ways up, but I haven't seen them like, you know, become what their parents did or whatever.
Like, how come there's no Roberto Carlos Jr.?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zidane has a couple kids and, you know, I guess one of them was a goalie, but it's rare to hear from him.
What about Pelé's grandkids?
See, that's another one. Haven't heard anything from them or about them.
But I guess there's no answer, Bergie.
Yeah, but that's weird, right? That in soccer,
weird.
It's the biggest sport in the world. And nothing.
We see broadcasters do it.
Yeah, isn't it weird that Chris Collinsworth's kid is on Sunday Night Football?
It is weird. It is weird.
He looks like him. He sounds like him. It's like,
I'm a really big Collinsworth fan. You know, he founded Pro Football Focus. He really knows the game really well.
Ian Eagle, Noah Eagle.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so one of the many things that I feel like I need to change in my life is to start up a hobby again that has nothing to do with sports.
Okay, good.
Good. I need something that's affordable and actually fun, so no suggestions of, like, stamp collecting or woodworking.
Stamp collecting.
Woodworking.
Perfect for you.
Woodworking.
But give me something to do that stops me from watching TV. I need something. Help me out.
Well, the reason I took up golf is because it gets me outside for four or five hours.
Yeah, but it's a hobby.
I mean, it would seem to me that something like, is that too much of a time commitment for you?
I mean, that is a pretty big time commitment. Yeah, that's like 5 hours.
All right, here's what I'm going to suggest. Bergman, you're going to think I'm kidding, but Mason will back me up on it. It will literally change your life. And you can do it for an hour three times a week. Take up yoga.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do hot yoga. So
it doesn't have to be hot yoga. You don't have to punish yourself.
Yeah, just do regular yoga.
But take
yoga.
Up yoga, basic yoga with some meditation, and you'll probably do it forever.
It's actually a really good idea. That's something that can be done.
I say write a novel.
What about your novel?
About what?
I don't, Bergman's experience, you know, little producer boy. I don't know.
Little producer boy? You are so condescending, it's not even funny.
I'm not condescending. Little producer boy. As a little kid, did you not dream of producing a radio show, a big-time radio show?
How's your novel going, by the way? How's the protagonist working out for you?
When I met Mason, you were writing a screenplay. Did that thing ever get bought?
Absolutely finished it. Never got bought. I did sell one. It was a. It was like an airplane. You know those goofy airplane movies.
Yeah. But
about the Olympics, and I did sell that for $5,000. It never got made.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when you guys watch that documentary on Netflix I told you to watch, that Crime and Punishment documentary about the hockey team in Connecticut.
I need to watch that.
If I would have turned that in as a script, you guys would have kicked it back saying, no one's going to believe this. That's how great that documentary is.
Okay, it's on but my list. It's
you know the list. Movie's coming, by the way. When you watch it, you go, oh, somebody's making a movie out of this within 10 years.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a word in sports, there's actually a lot of words that sports broadcasters use that drive me absolutely insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Within. Within is one of the worst words for me. Broadcasters use it way too much, and you, John Ireland, you do it all the time,
Wait
too.
A minute. You use it in a sentence.
Okay, so the Lakers are, like, okay, here it is. So the Lakers are down by 7. They hit a 3. You would say, the Lakers are now within 4 points.
I do it all the time, yeah.
They are not within 4 points. 3-0 is within 4 points. They are down by 4 points or 4 points behind or however else you want
Wait a
to say
minute.
It.
I wow, think you're technical. I think yeah. I
it
think
is,
you're
it
arguing,
is technical, but it drives
no, I think
me
you're
insane.
I think you're arguing semantics here. I not only do I think you're an idiot, I think that the other thing is more correct than your thing.
No, you're not within four points, John.
Greg, if the score is 100-96, right. I'm exactly within 4 points.
No, you're not. You're down by 4 points. Within 4 points would be 97, 98, 99. The word within is within the 96 and the 100.
Yeah, I think that you would be literally checked into the loony bin if you filed a complaint with the FCC over this.
No, I wouldn't go to the FCC, but it's just so commonplace now, and every sportscaster uses it, but it's wrong.
I'm siding with the sportscasters.
Yeah,
you know what you are? You're a nitpicker.
Yeah, you are a nitpicker.
It drives me absolutely insane. I hear it all the time.
By the way, within two of the Rockies.
yeah, it's wrong. But anyway, so are there words that drive you crazy in sports that they are used too much? I'm sure, Mason, you have some.
There are a couple.
Thank you for the English class, my friend.
We are welcome. I'm right, too.
Score the basketball.
Yeah, what else are you going to do with
phrase.
It?
Yeah, I mean, you scored. It's not he can really score the basketball. No, he can really shoot. He can really score. It's not score the basketball. And the other one is, and baseball announcers do this all the time, on the season. He's got 30 home runs on the season. No, this season he's got 30 home runs. What the hell is on the season?
The word I hate that when somebody says it, I just think that they're stuck in the 1930s. And there's a handful of guys who do this.
Okay.
Is when you hear somebody use the word youngster.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Michael says it all the time.
You know who's a big youngster guy is Rick Monday.
Yeah, Rick is.
Everybody's a youngster. Yeah, I think once you've crossed that bridge, it sounds really weird. Like, I guess once, I never refer to kids as youngsters. I just say it's a kid. Youngster's like an old-timey thing.
How do you feel if someone calls you kid? Like, they're older than you.
I find it a compliment. I believe I am a kid. I believe I live with a kid's mentality.
Hey, what's the other one that bothered you, Mace? The Manny Machado doing Manny Machado things.
Oh, I hate that. Manny Machado doing Manny Machado things. Trey Turner doing Trey Turner things. It's just like, it's such a throwaway expression. And it gets used a lot on, I won't say who necessarily, but it gets used a lot on SportsCenter. Hey, it's
LeBron doing LeBron things.
Fernando Tatis doing Fernando Tatis things. It's like, it's stupid. Just a stupid expression. Can we get rid of that one? All right, that's it. Is that all you got?
Yeah, we're within 6 minutes from break. Within 6 minutes.
We're actually within 7 minutes. So, yeah.
Within 7 minutes. All right, coming up next for you, John, I have uncovered. First of all, I got another key for Rams Tampa Bay on Sunday. And Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg are eating the weirdest crap in the world. And then we've got the Fez at 3:15. So all your gambling information. He won his best bet last week. We're throwing mythical money bets out there. We'll do some gambling with the Fez. Coming up, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.